Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Minnesoting was blue like I'd never known. Minnesoting dark gray all alone. Minnesoting was like trying to know somebody you never met. But Minnesoting was red Minnesoting. Minnesoting.
A little break from Monday tradition to celebrate a happy red weekend. Open parentheses, Taylor's version, close parentheses.
How long have you been planning that?
I've been planning that since I woke up at 8:45 a.m. this morning and was so tired and thought no part of me wants to learn a new song right now.
But you know what you know, red.
I know red, so you know what that's time what we did.
I woke up today.
What?
9:14 to your text message. It is currently 9:24. It's been 10 minutes.
Heck yeah. Welcome, everyone. This is truly, at least for me, the equivalent of like 6 a.m.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My eyes do not open until after 10:30.
No, I am not a morning person even ever. I don't think I've ever been a morning person ever in my whole life.
No. My alarm went off and I was like, this is it. This is how I die. It's over for me.
No. Well, I'm such a dummy. I set like 10 alarms because I have a lot to do today. Oh my gosh. And I literally like put my freaking alarms in my dream. I hate when I do that. I do that all the time. And I swear the only way I wake up to alarms is if I give myself a panic attack the night before. And I'm like, bitch, you need to like give this wait. And then if I don't and I just go to bed, I'll never wake up. I hate myself.
No, I have that problem too. I don't have that problem so much now because I don't use alarms very much anymore because I purposely try to plan my day so that everything important happens afternoon. But back when I was in school, that would happen to me all the time, that it just was the soundtrack to my dream. Yeah. And I would sleep straight through it. Ugh. Or it got to the point where I like instinctively could turn my alarm off. Yes. While I was still sleeping.
I know. I have this app that like was so helpful for like 2 years called Alarmy. Not sponsored, but it like you do math problems.
But hey, alarm me if you want to.
Literally. But you do math problems to turn off the alarm. I have memorized every single one of the math problems because I've been using it since I was a freshman in college.
Heck yeah.
So now I'm very good at sleep math. And I'm like, and I can be like asleep doing math problems and then go back to bed.
Dang, that is a special skill.
I know. But listen, I've said this before. So, sorry if you've heard it before, but I can't do math awake. It's only when, like, the anxiety in my brain is gone because I'm asleep. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I still have, like, math anxiety because what the hell? Oh, my gosh. Do you want to get into this minisode?
Yeah. Hello, everyone. My name is Ian Allred. I am so tired. I feel like I'm on a slow march to death.
Yeah.
And my name is Ian Allred, as I already said. Can you tell I'm tired? But I am also on top of that. Something called the mini Gleek. I don't know if you've heard of
Listen, I have.
How have you heard of it?
I host this little podcast. I don't know if you've heard of it.
What? What podcast?
It's called Recovering Shriek.
Colon. A G podcast. Uh-huh,
exactly.
My humor. This is going to be the least funny minisode of all time. I don't have a sense of humor
now. Honestly, me neither. But, I stayed up so late last night playing the guitar, specifically because, oh my God, I had a huge breakdown last night because I love Taylor Swift so much and I realized I'll probably never meet her. You know what I mean? Like, unless I star in Wicked and I invite her and she happens to come, I don't think I'll meet her. I'm going to cry now. It's just like... my life is more bearable. Ah, because her music isn't my life. And I'll never be able to tell her that. You know what I mean? You know when you love someone so much and you don't know how to tell them? That's me and Taylor Swift. I'm full crying. But I had a full breakdown about that last night. Like, screaming, crying, perfect storm. And I stayed up so late last night and I was, like, playing the guitar. And I was like, she'll never know. Crying now.
I'm sure she knows somehow. Some she part doesn't. Of her soul.
She never will know me.
Well, Taylor fan, what is your name?
No name. My name is Lady Knetzer. I'm a mini Gleek. I'm a Swiftie, though.
A big Swiftie. A mini Gleek and a big Swiftie.
A mini Gleek, big Swiftie.
Dang.
Let's get into it, yeah. This this minisode is about the episode, not you. You can choke.
Heck yeah. First off, here's a little message from Ella. They say, hey y'all, Red came out. Thoughts? Y'all are wonderful. Much love, Ella.
Wow. Ella, you came right at the right time. Have you listened to the entire album yet?
Absolutely not.
It's 30 songs. I get that.
I had a fun case of the no sleeps last night. It's this fun thing where every 3 nights my body says, we forgot how to sleep, and I lie awake for 2 to 3 hours. And so I was like, well, kill two birds with one stone, and I put on Red. But then halfway through the album, it wasn't lulling me to sleep enough,
right.
And so I turned it off and I switched to a podcast because people talking puts me to sleep.
Yeah, I hear that.
So I listened, I think, like through 22.
Okay.
And then I was like, I have to listen to something else right now.
I hear you. I listened as soon as it came out. Well, not as soon as it came out. As soon as it unbroke Spotify, because I don't know if you heard about that. But there was 5 minutes when it wasn't showing up on Spotify because every single person in the world was trying to get it.
My word.
I know. So I was like freaking out. So I started listening at like 10:05 my time. I live tweeted the entire thing. Have you seen it? Probably not.
No, I didn't. Literally yesterday I did 4 self-tapes. Not an exaggeration. I truly did not get on the internet the entire day until we recorded the podcast.
That's okay. I forgive you. I'm just kidding. But I live tweeted the entire thing. It was a very emotional experience for me, obviously. And then the next day, it's our friend of the podcast, Mikel's birthday. So I slept over at her house and we went to breakfast. And then she lives like 2 hours away from me randomly. But she lives like through a canyon.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to drive back like at like 1 o'clock and listen to the entirety of Red, like in this canyon, like all the leaves were falling and like like it was like beautiful reservoirs, beautiful canyons. So I've listened to it twice all the way through. One time when it came out, and then one time like just in the car, and it was such a spiritual experience. It just made me think of like, Red to me is like about being like 20 to 22, obviously, because so much of it is about like she talks about being 20 and she talks about being 22, obviously. And she and then we learned in freaking All Too Well 10 minute version.
Turning 21 is supposed to be fun.
Literally. So like literally like I just like remembered like how difficult it was being 21 and like how like being 21, that was like the worst year of my entire life. Like everything bad that's ever happened to me happened that year. And then I turned 22 and then my whole life turned around. Like 22 was the best year of my life. And I was just thinking about that and thinking about like how I loved Red so much when I was like going through those things, and how I also loved Red so much like when I was so happy as like at 22, and I was just like, oh my God, me and Taylor Swift are connected. And then I was like, look at me, 25, a couple years later, feeling better. You know what I mean? And I just got very emotional. That's my thoughts on Taylor Swift's Red, her version.
Heck yeah.
I know. The new version of Girl at Home, I have not stopped listening to it. It's on repeat. So those are my thoughts on Taylor Swift. I can't get into it too much because I'll die. Catch my drift.
Yes, I do. My thoughts are that Taylor Swift is one talented human. I have a hot take.
Well,
I think she's pretty talented.
Oh. Okay. That is pretty hot.
I know, right? I do. Red, I think, hear me out. Nothing I say is going to come close to anything you say because I don't have like a deep emotional connection to Taylor Swift. I think she's immensely talented. Just like it has never like super resonated with me personally.
Sure.
But I think Red is the first album that like I cared about from Taylor Swift.
Okay.
In the sense that like, on the earlier albums, I like liked Love Story or I liked You Belong With Me. Like
yeah.
I would hear certain songs, and then Red came out my senior year of high school, I think. And gall, it was like kids in my class were counting down to when it was releasing.
Yeah.
They were posting about it on Instagram. And I remember that was Red was Taylor's, if correct me if I'm wrong, her first album that was like more pop than country.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing where people were like, she's betraying her country roots, or she like, she's trying to reinvent herself. And for some reason that's bad.
Yeah.
And so Red reminds me a lot of my senior year of high school because that album exploded and then like entered every section of my life because everyone was talking about
it
nonstop.
Totally. I know.
And of course, who can forget the screaming goat meme.
Oh yeah, that was everywhere.
You were trouble.
That was everywhere.
That is the best thing to ever happen.
I know. That honestly is.
So, dang, Red Taylor's version.
Red TV. I'm surprised she didn't put the goats in TV. I thought she was gonna.
But can you imagine?
Yeah.
She releases
I
Knew You Were Trouble Taylor's
would.
Version. But does not release a version that is sincere. The only version she releases that is her version is the one with the goat screaming. That would be incredible.
That would be. I think
Dang.
She respects her music too much. She is.
I do too, but man.
No, I think she likes a meme as much as anybody, but I think she also is like, I am the Shakespeare of our generation. I don't think she says that. I say that. But yeah. Can you do the goat scream?
Maybe. Let me listen to it. Hold up. That's my impression of the goat. Sing I Knew You Were Trouble right before the beat drop.
Oh man. Now I'm lying on the cold hard ground. Trouble.
Wah!
No, it's pretty good. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Heck yeah. Cool. Well, Ella, thanks so much for asking for our thoughts. A bunch of people were wanting to know what we thought. So I was just like, let's talk about it now. It's like, let's talk about the red elephant in the room. You know what I mean?
A bunch of people were wanting to know what Lena thought. I don't think anyone gives a crap when I think about that album.
I do.
I'm glad.
I give a crap. But I knew you wouldn't have listened the entire thing because you're a man with the shit to do.
Ba-ba-ba-bow.
And I am a woman with shit to do, but listen. Red comes first. Taylor comes first.
Yeah, she's important to you.
She is. God damn it. I love you, Taylor Swift. All right. Ella, thanks so much for asking. Up next, we have a message from Kay.
Hi guys, it's Kay, she, they, and I'm back to share some of my thoughts on Choke. I love how the Glee boys come together to help Puck. However, I wanted to know if you guys have any thoughts on Brittany's plans for the future. We have not heard one plan from her the entire season, especially not in Saturday Night Gleaver, where there was ample time to address it. Maybe if they cut How Deep Is Your Love out. Who said that? Saturday Night Gleaver is my favorite of the season, but as the episode was pretty much created to address the club's plans for the future, it fails in that aspect. Dance with Somebody could have made space for this too, but somehow Will Schuster's over-involved self could not care less about what Brittany's going to do after high school. I know she's a dumb character and that's all she was written to be, but as you've both talked about on the podcast, it creates some real problems if you give any logical thought to what she goes through. I can't help but feel a little sad that she is being neglected when it comes to her education. Spoiler. Which is why she can't graduate with her friends and girlfriend. Hashtag Glee hates girls. Speaking of Glee hating girls, but constructively, I think Rachel's plotline in this episode is so important and needed for her character. Seeing the way bombing her audition destroys her inside is such a grounding moment. I have been rewatching season one recently, and I completely agree with you guys about how much you guys missed this iteration of Rachel. Failure is what makes us human, and with a character as talented but extremely flawed as Rachel, we need these moments to remember why we want to root for her in the first place. Season 4 is a distinct flavor of terrible for many reasons, but the changes in Rachel's character and the unrealistic problems she faces in that season were the biggest indicators for the bumpy road the show would soon face. Lastly, I'm surprised neither of you guys mentioned Lea Michele's distressed delivery of the phrase, pleek, pleek. Those two words changed my life in a major way. In a perfect world, Lea Michele would go up to wherever the Funny Girl rehearsals are being held, softly utter the words, pleek, pleek, and Beanie Feldstein would give up Fanny Bryce solely out of respect for that heart-wrenching performance. Anyway, I love you guys and your podcast, and I hope you know that you have so many people rooting for you no matter how hard life may get.
Aww.
Big consensual forehead kisses, Kay.
That's Kay, so nice.
Thank you. That's very sweet.
I'm going to think about that when I cry next.
To go off your email, first off with Brittany, I don't think it's out of character for Brittany to literally have no plans for the future and not really care about it. But I do agree with you. Why doesn't Will care? Like, Will made such a big stink in Saturday Night Gleaver that he's like, all of these kids have plans for what they're doing after high school, except Santana, Mercedes, and Finn. And it's my job as their teacher to make sure they have some. Except Santana, Mercedes, Finn, and Brittany, Will.
Yeah. Well, I mean, spoiler alert, but Brittany did get accepted into Purdue.
True. The Chicken Factory.
The Chicken Factory.
Honestly, maybe she told Will she got accepted into Purdue and he didn't even question it and was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then moved on.
Well, I'm not going to argue that Will isn't a bad educator, but I do, like, knowing how the show goes, I totally see how they're like they would like talk to Heather Morris behind the scenes and be like, you know what? We're going to keep you on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, spoiler alert, yeah, she stays on for the next season. And they kind of, they are starting to plant the seeds, which is such bullshit because, like, she's, you know, it's like 3 weeks away from graduation.
It doesn't bother me personally. It bothers me with literally every other character that they're like,
what bothers you with
I don't know where I'm going to college. And it's like, it's May.
Yeah.
you should know.
Well,
but with Brittany, it's just she never made plans.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, now it's too late. It just like didn't occur to her to do
it. Yeah. Well, with me, like I mostly like I understand how that would totally work, but I think that's giving the writers too much credit. You know what I mean?
No, that's probably true.
And that's how I feel about it. Like, yes, did like can we explain that like Brittany probably just like forgot to like apply for colleges and then also forgot to go to class? Yeah. But also, they didn't think about that.
I mean, no spoilers, which means I'm about to say a spoiler. So if you really care, it's like a spoiler for like two episodes from now. But if you really care, fast forward. I personally like the bait and switch that we spend all, like we spend this last few episode arc worrying about Puck and if Puck is going to graduate and Puck's grades and all stuff. And then Puck graduates by the skin of his teeth. And then last minute, Brittany's like, oh, yeah, I'm not graduating. I failed all my classes.
Yeah.
And I actually really think that's fun.
No, totally.
That it's just like, oh, it didn't even occur to us to worry about Brittany. And then Brittany fully failed. And I do understand, like, with all these characters going to college, I think the show's messy enough when it tries to balance Lima and New York.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see this show try to balance even more locations.
Yeah.
And I love Brittany so much that I'm like, honestly, have her get held back so that she stays on this show.
Yeah, no, totally. I get it. Let's talk about Pleak Pleak. Listen, you guys, I have seen the Pleak Pleak memes, and that occurred to me after the episode aired. Like, you know what I mean? I mentioned that I've like seen it before.
We give it a little shout out.
We give it a little shout out. But like, certainly when I think of that scene, and maybe it's just because I've had so many like really, you know, horrifying audition experiences that like, I'm mostly thinking of how much I relate to that shit and less so thinking about the Pleak Pleakness. But you know what I mean? So that's where that was coming from.
It gives Lena PTSD for when she was asking them to Pleak give her another shot.
I know. Well, you guys, sometimes when you're crying and your like snot is in your mouth, you can't say please. I don't know what that's about, but it turns into a K. I don't know what science that is, but it happens. Have you ever tried?
I have not. Next time I'm hysterically crying, I'm like, give it a shot.
But don't you forget to think about what Kay said and remember.
True.
What they said.
True. Well, thank you for your message,
Kay. Thank you, Kay.
Thank you for saying you're rooting for us. That was very sweet.
Listen, that's so nice.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Up next we have a message from Madeline.
Hey, Lil Beans. It's Madeline. I am also a 20-something random, and I hadn't seen this episode since it came out. And it's actually, it was a lot better than I was expecting, because I remember season 3 being, like, really, really bad, and especially, like, the B storyline being super cringe, but the Kurt and Rachel plotline was so good. Like, Kurt's performance was unbelievable. I audibly gasped and, like, stood up from my seat when he did that, like, rip-off costume change, because I was so surprised. I've watched YouTube clips of that performance like at least once a day since your episode came out. Anyway, I'm running out of time. Can you each give an example of the like best audition you ever had where you just like fucking killed it, and a time where you just like super choked and you like cringe every time you think about it? Okay, I love you guys. Bye.
Hell yeah. Ian, do you remember a great audition you've had?
So here's the deal with auditioning, at least for me. I always think it's bad because I'm so self-conscious.
Yeah.
And auditioners, like, as a rule, sometimes, you know, if they're in a good mood, they'll be like, oh, good job. Or like, thank you. But they're never going to, like, stand up and cheer, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Like, when Carmen Thibodeau tells Kurt that Hugh Jackman would be impressed with that performance, that never happens.
No.
So
And I even find that, like, when that happens to me, like, in the odd time that someone compliments me, I try to ignore that as much as possible because I cannot become reliant on a compliment because, listen, bitch, I love a compliment.
So I do, I don't have an audition where, like, my brain exploded. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like Kurt's in this.
Yeah.
But the best I have ever felt about an audition is I went in and I was auditioning for this show and I had an audition slot at 9 a.m., which is terrible. And the song I was singing for the audition was super high. I had to like sing a B in it. And so I woke up really early. I stretched a bunch. I like had tea. I went to the gym, like did everything I could.
Wow.
And then went into the audition room and I sang the song and I felt really good about it. And then contrary to what I just said, the accompanist, I finished singing and he said, like the person playing the piano for me said, I can't believe you can sing that well at 9 a.m.
and said, it's actually 5 p.m. I never went to
bed. No, I was like, I've been awake since 4:30, baby. And then the auditioner was like, yeah, that was really good. And that's the best I've ever felt about an audition.
Cool.
And then I booked the show. And then, I don't know if you've heard of it, something called the COVID-19 pandemic happened and the show got canceled and I never actually did it.
Oh, damn.
But I remember that audition.
I wasn't there for your audition, but I was there a tad later. And I remember talking to you about it. So, did you sing Dream On?
Very good about
Is that,
that
one?
Oh, no, that's one of my bad auditions that I'll tell.
Okay, cool.
That one I sang from the show because the auditioner requested that I sang from the show. Yeah, so I sang one of the songs from the show.
Cool.
What is a good audition story for you?
Okay, so listen, this one is going to be kind of crazy. I have, honestly, I don't think I'm a very good auditioner. I'm a very good callbacker. Which I think is like half the reason I get cast when I do. Because I don't know. I get into a callback room and that shit is my candy. I love a callback.
No, I agree. I agree 100%.
But like something about like a 2-minute like package is just very difficult for me. Like trying to fit who I am / who they want me to be / like all of my fucking training into 2 minutes like is very much overwhelming. So it's very difficult, but so I've had a couple good auditions, but mostly I have great callbacks, but that doesn't really count. But I remember my senior year of college was right when the COVID-19 pandemic hit. I just had one semester left, so it was like the second part of my senior year. And I put together, so it was the first time I had like really done a self, like I had done a couple of self tapes, but this was the first time I had like done a self tape that had stock. So it was my senior year. I was like, you know what? I want to play this part. And if I don't play this part, I don't really care. Like I've worked professionally, like college sucks. I hate it here, but I'm going to like, just like kind of do my thing. And I still look back at that audition and I'm like, God, I caught some magic that day. And like, I did a monologue from the show because I'm wild. And I ended up you guys were there for it. It was much ado. I did a Beatrice monologue and I caught magic that day somehow. And to this fucking day, I still try and recapture that magic with that monologue and I never have. But like, I literally like, I had a meeting with my professors afterwards just to like end the year. And they were all like, that's one of the best auditions we've ever seen ever. And I was like,
Heck yeah.
And I felt really good about it. Literally, I was like doing it and I was like, God, what did I do here? So yeah, that was like my best audition ever. And it sucks so bad because it was a self-tape. So like, does it even count? And you've seen me try for a million years. I mean, it does count, but it's like no one was there to see it. And it's like also I tried the monologues like 8 different times. So, of course, I caught magic on the 6th time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I think self-tapes are harder personally.
Yeah.
So I think it's much more impressive to catch magic on a self-tape. Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you.
I hear that. I don't know. So, yeah, that was like, I just felt very good about it. And it was also like, I have like nothing to prove to anybody here. I'm just going to like do it. And then I did it. And then I got the part. And then I left school. You know what I mean? So,
heck yeah.
So that went well. Do you have a bad audition in your head?
You better believe. Hell I have yeah. two. The first one is Dream On. So I love to sing Dream On if they're looking for a pop rock audition, specifically because I can do the little Aerosmith. I can't do it at 9 a.m., so I'm not going to try, but I can later in the day. But one time I had an audition, and it was at 9 a.m., and I had tricked myself into being like, I'm fine. Yeah. I'm warm. Who cares? And I went into the audition at 9 in the morning, and I was like, I'll be singing Dream On. And unlike my other audition that was at 9, I didn't, like, wake up super early and, like, get all ready. I just kind of, like, was strolling in there way too overconfident. And I did the first light up on the, like, the past is gone, it went like, you guys, it's 9 a.m., I'm going to sound bad. But I did that slide and felt my throat tightening as I slid up. And I was like, you know what? I think I can push through this for the rest of the song.
Yeah. And I hate kept that. Going, I do. I've done that so many times where you're like, that's just phlegm. I'm going to push through it.
Yeah. So I kept going. And, you know, like the chest voice belty stuff was like technically on pitch. It just was tight.
Yeah.
And then it gets to the octave jump to the like head voice. And I was like, I'm going to save it in this last little, I go up. I am fully a half note under pitch the entire time. I like could not, no matter what I did, my voice was so tired. It was so early. Could not get up on the pitch. Yeah. So I was a half note flat for that entire section. And then ended the audition. Yeah. So good for me. I definitely bucked it. I did not. And then another one that was really bad is, much like Kurt and Rachel, in high school, I went to audition for a musical theater program. I went to audition for the University of Arizona's musical theater program. I was singing No More from Into the Woods. I was so nervous. I also just like wasn't a very good singer in high school. I had never taken voice lessons. I was just kind of like doing whatever, you know? And I went in for that audition and I sang No More and I ended. And the head of the musical theater department said, are you sick?
Oh, are you kidding?
And you know who wasn't sick?
Yeah.
Me. You know who lied and said, yes, I am. Also me. You know who didn't make it into the University of Arizona's musical theater program?
No, buddy.
Me.
Well, listen, it worked out the way it was supposed to because you were supposed to go do musical theater with my butt and start this podcast. So
true.
Thanks, AZ.
True. Do you have a bad audition story?
I have so many. My one that is very, I would say, close to this is there was this thing in Utah where all of the colleges would like gather in at one place, and like they would send representatives from all their schools and you would audition for them. And then they would like send you emails if they liked you. And I thought I was hot shit in high school. Like, I was like the person at my school who gave a crap about musical theater. So like I, you know, worked really hard and I was like, you know, I had like semi talent for a 17-year-old, you know? So like, I thought I was the bomb. But I remember going to these auditions, and the way they set it up is like they stick 20 kids in a school or in a room with like 100 people from colleges. And then you go up one at a time. And it's like, it was like the first time I was there with like two of my friends who both didn't end up like accepting theater offers, like who both were just doing it like kind of for fun. I was the only one who was like thinking about doing it like seriously. So I go do the audition. So I'm watching all these people, and especially these young girls who are amazing. And it is embarrassing. Like I was like, I don't sound anything like these people. So I get up and I'm singing Better Than That by Jason Robert Brown from the musical Last 5 Years. A show I should be in. And a show and a song that I sing a lot now. I don't sing it for auditions, but I sing it a lot, like, in just my life. And I'd like to, you know, play that part or slash do that song in a like a cabaret. So immediately I hand the accompanist my book, and he out loud goes, "Yikes, Jason Robert Brown, huh?" Yeah. So, like, I know. And I'm like, this is an adult man. And I'm like, and I didn't know that you're not supposed to give Jason Robert Brown sheet music. I literally bought an entire Jason Robert Brown, like, music book because I didn't know how to print off sheet music. I didn't know anything. So I hand this guy my sheet music. He immediately says that. I don't know what he even means by that. For people who don't know, that music is just kind of hard. It's just kind of like very piano heavy. But he just like embarrassed me immediately in front of like this like audience of 100 and this like group of like 20 behind me. I didn't know what he meant. I just was like, oh, he thinks that my choice was bad. Oh, this is a bad choice. Mm-hmm. And I did a monologue. I don't remember what the monologue was, but I know it happened. Gosh, I don't remember. But I remember going to sing, and I started at, you don't have to get a haircut. You don't have to change your shoes. And I got up to sing the, "Waha, I don't need any lifetime commitments," which, like, you know, for my 17-year-old voice that is underdeveloped was very difficult. So I just, like, dropped off. I just didn't do the riff. So, like, "And totally mine." I just didn't do it. And, like, I, like, dropped off and it didn't sound good. And I was, like, very embarrassed and I was shaking and I was, like, like in near tears because I was so embarrassed. And I was, like, and I just messed up and I freaked out. And then I did the monologue and I, like, ran off the audition, like, platform, whatever the fuck it was. And it was so embarrassing. And I remember my friend, he ended up getting, like, a callback from the university I wanted to go to, and he like immediately got a slot in there. Like, he got an apprenticeship at their program for the summer, and like he like who had never even talked about doing musical theater in college, like, got all these opportunities. And I like got like, you know, nothing. I got nothing, you know. So it was crazy. So I took a year off from in between high school and college, and that was a big reason that I was like, I can't do theater, you know. Like, I really messed this up. My whole college career was riding on this moment. I don't have time to go out like re-audition for other places. I auditioned for every school in Utah just there, and so yeah, luckily it worked out. I took a year off, which was much needed, and then I went to school and I did well in school. So yeah, it was terrible. Heck, and I was like in this town, I was like at a hotel and I was crying the whole weekend, and everyone was like, "God, Lena's so annoying." But I was like, my whole future just crashed, you guys. Mm-hmm. It was terrible. It was dreadful. So yeah, that's probably my worst audition.
Woo, auditioning.
I know. I mean, I've had several bad auditions, but that's probably the one that it was like, I clearly gave up, choked in the audition, and like was a menace the whole weekend after that. So that was that, baby. Madeline, thanks for asking. Wasn't that fun to hear? Gosh. Well, listen, you guys. If you do theater, I promise you only get better as years go on. You get older, you get wiser, your voice gets more sure of itself, you get more sure of yourself. It doesn't end in high school, you know? All right, up next we have a message from Sophie.
Hi, Mini Gleeks. First, I have to say, I've never performed the cell block tango, but I was, in fact, forced to learn Hungarian by virtue of being Hungarian.
International listener!
So I have some thoughts. It took me a while to realize there was a Hungarian verse when I first heard the song out of context because, well, in every version I've heard so far, the Hungarian verse was rough. No hate to any of the actresses, as looking up the lyrics, I realized it's written to be rough. It's amusing because it doesn't make much sense and is the kind of Hungarian I speak after having been abroad for too long and getting drunk. I never even thought about the verse being cut, even from the Glee studio version, but your discussion on it made me realize how much I would have loved to hear any of the girls give it a shot. My choice would be Vanessa Lenges because she's already bilingual. Do English and French have anything to do with Hungarian? Not at all. But I feel like she could have really pulled it off. Second, I just wanted to mention that I share your complicated feelings on your storyline, on the storyline itself, and I just love Beast so much. I want them to be happy. But honestly, it's all worth it for Dot Marie's acting and the absolutely phenomenal performance of Shake It Off. It's one of my favorite numbers in the entire show, and I love that it's the Santina Sadies trio's time to shine. We deserved more of them, but I'm happy to have even gotten this much of Tina and the girls finally supporting Beast. It's so heartwarming. Dot Marie also spoke about the scene following Nye's passing, and that just made it even more emotional. Speaking of Tina, your discussion on how dirty Tina and Quinn and others is done inspired the data nerd in me, so I checked at what point in the series Rachel and Blaine reached as many performances as others would have at the end of the show. So for example, if Tina had 76 songs in Glee, at what point did Rachel reach that number and had her 76th song? Since Rachel and Blaine are the two most featured voices, they both surpass everyone else at some point or another. Some upsetting statistics below. So Sophie gave us a lot of very interesting statistics. She said she's going to post them on the subreddit. So if you want to see these statistics in their entirety, go to r/recoveringgleek. Just for the sake of time, we're going to give you a highlight reel. So in total, over the course of Glee, Rachel has 186 songs that she is featured in. Blaine has 122. So Artie and Mercedes both are tied for third place of most featured voice with 113 songs. By season 6, episode 13, Mercedes and Artie have sung 113 times. Blaine reaches his 113th in season 6, episode 1. So, like, not that big of a difference. Rachel reaches it in season 4, episode 2, two full years before they do. It just gets sadder from here. So then, we got Santana with 108 total songs. Rachel reaches that two episodes from now in Nationals. She has her 108th solo. Blaine reaches it in season 5, episode 19. Then it starts getting really sad when we get to Brittany, Quinn, and Tina. So Tina, our girl, we love her. The entirety of Glee, she is only featured on 76 songs. Poor, poor Tina. Rachel reached her 76th song in Purple Piano Project.
No way.
Literally months ago, yeah. Rachel had already sung as many times as Tina will sing over the course of this entire show. Blaine will reach his 76th song in the season 4 finale. Then we get Brittany. Brittany only sings 58 times over the course of Glee. Rachel had her 58th solo in Brittany. Literally, like, almost two seasons ago at this point.
That's the beginning of season 2.
And Blaine will reach his 58th song in the premiere of season 4. A character who was added to the show a full, like, season and a third after Brittany was.
Wow.
And then Quinny, our girl, we love her, over the entire course of Glee, only sings 42 times.
Which is crazy, because the girl has only missed, like, one episode.
The reason that Tina has so many more songs than Quinn is because, like, minor spoiler alert, but, like, she's going to Yale. After this season, Quinn only ever pops up, like, once or twice a season.
Yeah.
Whereas Tina continues to be a lead. But, yeah, it is bonkers that she has been in nearly every episode for these first three seasons and only ever sings 42 times. Because this isn't just solos. This is, like, if they are featured at all in a song, like, sing one or two lines. Rachel, oh, I'm so sorry. Rachel reached Quinn's level during Brittany. All of the Brittany statistics I gave her for Rachel were for Quinn. So the Brittany one, wow, Ian, you made a mess. The Brittany one was reached by Rachel in Silly Love Songs, which is the 12th episode of season 2, and was reached by Blaine, is going to be reached by Blaine in Glee Actually, which is episode 10 of season 4. It was Brittany for Rachel for Quinn, and it will be the season 4 premiere for Blaine. Huh. And those are just some upsetting statistics.
Yeah, you gotta look at the charts. Like, honestly, they're a wonder to behold, and they make you very upset. They hurt my stomach to look at, frankly.
Dang. That was long, but hopefully interesting. I'll probably put it all on the subreddit. I've only just caught up with the podcast after a couple weeks of absence, so I also have some Whitney Pesberry thoughts because her friendship is has a very, very special place in my heart, but I'll save those for next time. Love from Hungary, Sophie, she, her.
Sophie.
P.S. Happy All Too Well Day. I'm assuming LPC celebrates it.
You assume right, Sophie. I did celebrate it. I got very sad about that.
Sophie, thank you so much for these statistics. We truly, like, can't do them justice. Just with talking about them. Mm-hmm. So everyone go check them out on the subreddit.
Yeah.
It's just like, I mean, yes, I don't like the fact that like Blaine sings so much and so much more than other characters, but like even the gap between Blaine and Rachel is the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Like what did Lea Michele have on these writers that they had her sing such an obscene amount?
I don't know.
How many episodes of Glee are there? I think there's 121, and she sings like 186 times. How many? Yeah, she sings 186 times. So that's 65 more songs than there are episodes of Glee.
Which, like,
what
how?
On earth?
Yeah. I hate this show. I'm like, and I can't really wrap my head around it. Like, yeah, Lea Michele has a great voice, but like, mm-hmm. what the hell is going on in here on this day?
Yeah, she averages a song and a half per episode, yeah. whereas friggin' Diana Agron, I think, averages 1/4 of a song per episode. 1/3, I guess. Yeah, 1/3. Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
And it's like, yeah, Lea Michele, like you said, is very talented. But, like, everyone on the show is very talented, and also they have such a diversity of voices and talents yeah. that let's shake it up. Let's hear some different stuff.
Shake it up, shake it up.
Dang. Shake it up, shake it up. Oh, wow. Well, thank you, Sophie. Yeah. I love the data nerd in you.
Me too. Very interesting. Seriously, I love data nerds. They are my favorite people. Up next, we have a message from Emily.
Hi, Lena and Ian. I'm listening to your episode right now on Choke, and I just wanted to say a couple things about the Beat Coach Beast plotline. So trigger warning for mentions of abuse. First of all, the subject of abuse is an incredibly important topic to discuss, but I agree that I don't think Glee should have been the show to do it. While I agree the episode handles this in a decent way and says some good things about the abuse, I hated this plotline. For one, it is completely inappropriate that their students are the ones semi-tasked with helping them deal with this. It really should have been a Sue, Emma, or Will plotline. I just don't like the students being involved at all in this. I could not imagine a teacher coming to me and confessing something like that. I was in class where a teacher talked about her cheating husband, and that was incredibly uncomfortable, and she got reprimanded. I think Glee forgets their characters are 15 through 18-year-olds, and not real adults who can appropriately handle this issue, especially since this is a current situation that Beast is dealing with, and not something in the past that they themselves have come to terms with. What sucks is I think this plotline could have been better if it was one of the students dealing with this. I was mentally and emotionally abused by a friend when I was in high school. It was an incredibly difficult experience to deal with, especially being so young, but having supportive friends really helped me out of it, and it was really eye-opening once I was out of it. But I still have a lot of trauma from it. Having perhaps one of the Glee girls just be in an incredibly toxic and abusive friendship, I think would have gotten the point across a lot better and made it more palatable to have the kids involved. And it should have been a multi-episode arc and not just thrown in there. Also, like Ian said, just let Beast be happy already. I was so disappointed when I saw this episode for the first time, since it kind of felt like, oh yeah, conventionally unattractive people can't find love kind of thing. I hope some of my rambling makes sense. Good luck with your auditions. I'm sure you will both kick ass. Sincerely, Emily.
Emily, thank you so much for this message. I think that's a great thought, and thank you so much for sharing that, like, it doesn't make sense that they would have teachers nearly having students help the teachers through this situation. It's A, like, ongoing, and B, like, vastly inappropriate to talk about to mm-hmm. minors, let alone to, like, I don't know. And I understand why it starts this way. Obviously, they're trying to teach them a lesson, but, like, it's just, like, I don't know. I just think the topic is, like, far too nuanced to, like, teach lessons like this, like, you know, come on.
Yeah. Also, like, a teacher should not be divulging their, like, personal trauma and dirty laundry to the children in their class.
Yeah.
It's unprofessional. It's weird.
Yeah. Totally.
It's gross.
It is. And it certainly would have, I think, fit the show more with what you said, Emily.
Yeah. I just think domestic abuse doesn't have a place on Glee in general. Mm-hmm. But I do agree, Emily, if they had to do the plot line, I think what you pitched works a lot better.
Yeah, totally.
And especially, like, do multiple episodes about it. Mm-hmm. This is not an issue you can one and done and solve in one episode. Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. Well, Emily, thank you so much. Up next, we have a message from Lois.
Hi, Ian and Lena. I just wanted to leave you this voice note to let you guys know that I'm a fairly new listener from the UK.
International listener!
And I absolutely love your podcast. It popped up on my Spotify homepage as if to say, don't lie to us. We see you listening to Volume 1 and 2. Come and listen to this podcast. And truly, in the 10 years since I first saw an episode of the show, I've never been able to rightfully articulate the fact that I love this show, but I also hate this show, and you guys just do it perfectly. It's absolutely incredible to listen to. It's laugh out loud funny, and I love how 20 minutes into each episode, Ian's just like, should we talk about Glee? I love the balance between your own lives. We really get to know you as listeners, and also just trashing Glee. I think it's absolutely perfect. Keep doing what you're doing.
Lois, that was so kind.
So sweet.
Thank you so much.
I'm so happy to have you listening, for sure. And I'm so glad that you enjoy it. That makes me really happy. The fact that, like, people can, like, jive with us about, like, shitting on this thing we love, like, makes me, like, endlessly happy. Oh, my gosh.
And so glad that you love us just shooting the breeze for 20 minutes
before we actually
get to what we're supposed to be talking about.
Listen, you guys, if I could give anyone advice for podcasting, I'd say, A, pick a friend to do a podcast with who you jive with. And also, I don't know, hang out. You talk better when you hang out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it just becomes a conversation.
This is not the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not the podcast for people who are looking for, like, facts and figures.
No.
We're mostly just having a good time.
I'm not Sophie from Hungary. I have no facts and figures. But Lois, thank you so much. We're happy to have you listening. We're happy to have all of you listening. And
heck yeah.
We're so happy that you guys can find some joy in this, because it gives us a lot of joy to do. So, God, y'all, let's have a hug. Bring it in, you guys. Pat, 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 pat. That was me patting your back. All right. Well, that is the end of your minisode, y'all. Let's crank out this relative pitch game. I have to go.
I don't know who went first last week, and we don't have time to figure it out. Oh, shoot. So we're going to have you go first.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, it's the episode choke, so what am I going to sing, buddy?
Okay, we got Schools Out by Alice Cooper. Cell Block Tango from Chicago, Not the Boy Next Door from The Boy from Oz, The Rain in Spain from My Fair Lady, Shake It Out by Florence and the Machine, Cry by Kelly Clarkson. You're going to sing Shake It Off by Taylor Swift.
Fine, twist my actually, arm.
But actually Shake It Out by Florence and the Machine.
Okay, got it. Let me look at the lyrics. Okay, I think it's, I'm still like, listen, you guys, my voice is almost better, but it's just early, so that's just that. Okay. Regrets collect like old friends, here to relive your darkest moments. I can see no way. All of the ghouls come out to play, and every demon wants his pound of flesh. And I like to keep some things to myself. I like to keep my issues drawn. It's always darkest before the dawn. And I've been a fool? I've been blind?
Heck yeah.
Okay.
So you think the regrets collect. Wow, that was worst you've ever sounded in my life.
I wasn't doing it well either. Like, collect.
You think it's It starts on an A, essentially, is the important part.
Hell yeah. Oh, I rock.
That is the exact pitch.
I rock. I love myself. Oh,
yeah. I will.
I mostly was talking to my freaking voice that is still giving me crap. I would like you to sing Subwalk Tango.
Oh my gosh. For a second, I was like, there's no singing in that song.
You know there is.
Because I just thought of the monologue.
Do a monologue. Can you imagine? I'm at Ezekiel Young from Salt Lake City.
And we hit it off right away. Okay. He had it coming. He had it coming. He only had himself to blame. If you'd have been there, if you'd have seen it, I betcha you would have done the same. That's what I'm saying. Okay, so I think he had it coming was A flat, G, F, C. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
A win for both of us this week.
Oh my gosh, that rocks. Yay!
I think it helps that this is a song I have like performed before. And so it's more in my muscle memory than just me like whipping something out.
It also helps that it's just been a magical week when it comes to everything. Probably Red TV gave us magic this week.
Yeah, honestly, Red Taylor's version. This is Minnesota Taylor's version. She really blessed us today.
Taylor, if you ever listen to Covering Gleek, I love
you. She does. I'm sure she does.
No, listen, you can't say that to me because I will be sad that she won't. Because why would she why would she listen to this podcast about a TV show that she like watched? I think like she watched Semi. She tweeted about it once or twice.
Exactly.
But her ex-girlfriend / maybe ex-boyfriend were both on this show.
Which is why she would watch it. Are you telling me she wouldn't like, listen go to our podcast. Your ex's Instagram?
She would not listen to our podcast about it though.
No,
and the answer is I do not. I only do that the other day to re-up my trauma. Before I listened to Red TV. God, that was rough. And that was not fun for me.
When Taylor needs to write a new song, she watches an episode, listens to our podcast about it, and then she's like, I'm in an emotional state to now write this song.
Don't say that to me.
Taylor, if you're listening, please let us know. Well, you got to hit the road.
I do got to hit the road. So, you guys, thanks so much for being here. We love you so much. Have an amazing rest of your week. I hope you listen to Red TV if you like Taylor Swift. If you don't like Taylor Swift, I really don't want to hear it. Please keep that to yourself. Okay, have a great week, you guys. Love you so much. Britney's out of her conspiratorship, so go listen to Britney Spears. Go give her some cash.
Heck yeah.
Seriously, we love Britney Spears. Seriously. So here's a minute kiss on your ready forehead.
Real fast, coming out on Wednesday, we got...
Coming out on Wednesday is House of Gucci.
Is House of Gucci.
Go see
and
that.
Also Promosaurus.
Go support my husband.
If you have thoughts on Promosaurus, you can email them to us, recoveringgleek@gmail.com, or you can voicemail them to us, anchor.fm/recoveringgleek. Love you guys.
Hell yeah.
Have a good week. See you Wednesday.
See you Wednesday. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.